at lunch, almost lunchtime today. Amen. Remember the Bible, it was lunchtime somewhere. I believe what it says in Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. Well, let's read verse 27 first. So verse 27 of chapter 6. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noise throughout all the country. Remember, they have just overcome Jericho. The walls have come down. There's victory up in the air. There's excitement and enthusiasm. Then the Bible says in verse 1 of 7, But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took, of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord. What? I thought he was a God of love. He is. He get angry too. The Bible says, and the anger of the Lord, righteous indignation, by the way, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. We're going to talk today and just a couple more days on this little thought, trouble in Canaan. Trouble in Canaan, part one. Father, help us. Ask God your Holy Spirit would help me to preach your word to these precious souls that have gathered here this glorious Sunday morning. I pray, God, that as the Holy Spirit speaks to all of our hearts, I pray, God, that you reveal great truths to us that we can not only embrace, but also implement in our life. I pray and ask God we'd also share it with someone else. But also understanding, God, that even though we may be in the land of Canaan, there's oftentimes trouble. But at the same time, that trouble can be overcome if we follow your Holy Ghost directions. So I pray, God, this morning. There's one among us who's having trouble in Canaan. I pray, God, that you help us to realize there is a way out of this trouble. But also help us to understand what gets us into trouble. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. I pray, God, there's one person here or many that may not be saved, but bought and born again. I pray and ask God this will be that morning that they will step out and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Put away their pride, put away their fear, and put faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. If there's somebody that's unsure of their salvation, I pray, God, that this will be that morning they get that thing settled with you. And that God will praise you as well. But whatever the case might be, I pray that you, as a great physician, will administer to each of us that necessary help and also the antidote, the prescription that we need to have for our particular situation. Help us so we can also help somebody else. And then, Master, if I've left anything out, meet that need as well. Bless all those who are watching and those who will watch later. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus. Oh, fill me up with the Holy Ghost. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Trouble in Canaan. Now, you and I must remember that Canaan is not a type of heaven. Oftentimes we sing the songs that, I can't wait till we get over to Canaan land. But as we have already seen, that once the children of Israel left the wilderness and came into Canaan, they had to face the Jordan River, they had to face the Jericho Wall, and now they're going to face some more enemies as well. Canaan is a type of the Christian salvation or Christian experience. When you were lost, you were in the wilderness. When you came out of that wilderness, you crossed over that Jordan into that place of salvation. But once you got saved, my dear friends, that doesn't mean trouble stop there. Does it mean that pain stop there or pressure stop there? There's still some things to face, but we don't have to face it alone. Now, the first thing we'll see here, and I said this is part one. Part one of trouble in Canaan. And part one of trouble in Canaan deals with the self-willed soldier. Now, this is important. The self-willed soldier. How many folks do we have here that have ever been in the military? Okay, we have several. They've been in the military. One of the things they do when you get in the military, what do they want to break? Your will. They want to break your will, my dear friends, and get you, my dear friends, where you're not trusting what you want to do, but you're going to trust those who are in charge and those who are leading you into battle. So they're going to break you all the way down, but after they break you down, then they're going to build you back up, my dear friends, and make you a soldier, a fighting machine, so when you are facing the enemy, you can be victorious. We've got a God, my friends, that also wants to break our will. So we will succumb to His will, my friends, and follow Him not half the way, but all the way. So what does it mean to be a self-willed soldier? A self-willed soldier is this. The word self-willed means stubborn. It also means, that's not Christian soldiers, okay? Stubborn, pursuing one's own wishes, aims, etc. Especially one's own desire. Now, y'all probably thought about a whole bunch of folks like that. But I wonder if we thought about ourselves. So we'll say, well, I ain't selfish. I ain't self-willed. Self-will means I'm going to do my own thing. Now, can you imagine having a marriage where everybody's self-willed? Jim going to do his own thing and Pam going to do her own thing. They'll be all jacked up. Because guess what? He won't be caring about what she thinks. She won't be caring about what he thinks. Everybody is doing what they want to do. Because listen, nobody don't tell me what to do. My mama don't tell me what to do. That's the problem. Because we won't listen, my friends. And instead of surrendering to God's will, we are self-willed. Not spirit-willed, but self-willed. Stubborn. A lot of folks want to own their own business. You know why? They want to be the boss. And they don't want nobody telling them what to do. And usually, they make the worst boss. Because they walk around, and their feet don't even touch the ground. They just float through the office. They walk in there. Everybody bow. I'm here. I'm the lead person. I'm running this line. If I wouldn't run this line, y'all wouldn't have a line. And all that kind of stuff. Well, you know what? They make an awful boss. But then there's some who aren't that way. And you know what I know. You will break your neck to help them. I think when I used to work at Toys R Us over in Chicago, when I used to work over there, there was a lady named Myrna, something like that. But man, if she asked you, could you stay over an extra hour or half an hour? You know what you say? Sure, no problem. Because she would help you out if you needed help. I mean, she worked things out with you. I mean, she didn't walk around there with a switch or whatever. But we had this other guy. His name was Bob. And Bob, you'd be working, right? Many times, I'm working, man. I'd be working, and all of a sudden, I see his shoes. You see his shoes standing right there, like that. You know, because he'd be standing like this. You'd be working down the aisle, and then he'd be standing right here. But I could see his shoes right there. And all of a sudden, you see Bob peep around the corner. I'm like, come on, man. If he asked you to stay over, man, I'm sorry. I can't stay over. Come in. He was just like a chihuahua. I mean, just barking all the time. I mean, nobody, that's that word, right? Okay, all right. Usually I said the longer version of that. But anyhow, though, I mean, nobody wants to work with him. Nobody wants to do anything for him. Listen, my dear friends, a self-willed person is not the most pleasant person to be around. Especially a self-willed soldier. Because a self-willed soldier is supposed to have somebody that's over them. And that's the same thing we see with this man by the name of Achan. Remember what the Bible says in verse number 1. The Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed trespass in their cursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, done something." Well, see, his name lets you know there's a problem. The name Achan means troubler, troublesome, causing trouble, annoyance, difficulty. Now, if you meet somebody named Trouble, that lets you know there's going to be trouble, okay? Annoyance. His name means annoyance. It means trouble or troublesome. Right there, my dear friends, you know that there's some person that's going to cause you trouble. Sometimes names tell on you. Anyhow. Okay, we move on from there. But nonetheless, that's what his name means. It means causing trouble, annoyance. So we find this guy's going to have some problems. Now, he's in Canaan. But even though you're in Canaan, you're going to find temptation in the middle of Canaan. You'll find temptation in the middle of victory. You just had a victory. They just had a victory. Man, the walls came down. And now we see a problem. We're going to see four things were done. The first thing we see is a sin has been committed. Verse number 1 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. That word trespass means a sin. It also means treachery. It also means falsehood. But that word committed is an interesting word. Committed a trespass. The word committed here means to act. This word sounds is opposite than what you think it means. When I think committed, I think this is a person that's committed to this or committed to that. You know, it's a positive thing. But this word committed here in this verse, it means this: to act unfaithfully, to cover up, to act covertly, which means concealed, secret, disguised. So in other words, somebody had committed a sin, but they were trying to cover it up. They were trying to disguise it. And that's what Achan was doing. He was trying to hide, trying to conceal his sin. But my dear friends, you can't hide your sin from the one who sees all. But by the way, when you and I are trying to conceal things and try to hide things, there's no way that you and I are going to move forward. Look what the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter number 28 and verse 13. Look at Proverbs 28 and look at verse number 13. Proverbs 28 and look at verse number 13. Look what the Bible says. We've read this before. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse 13, the Bible says this: he that covereth his sins, he that conceals his sin, he that hides his sins. And that word sin here in this verse means rebellion or revolt. When a person rebels, they're going against. So this is a sin of rebellion or going against something in particular. And in particular, we mean going against the commands of God. Now watch what he says. He says, he that covereth his sin, conceals, he hides his sin, hides his rebellion, shall not what? Prosper. That word prosper, I'm about to have the Holy Ghost spell. That word prosper means to push forward or to break out. Maybe that's why some folks can't break out. Because they're trying to hide their sin. Let me out of here. We're behind your back. Nothing. I ain't got nothing. You ever had a kid to do that? Maybe stand there and as soon as you walk in the room, they go. What's behind your back? Nothing. Why are you looking like that? That Michael, yeah, I see Michael. I have no idea. I have no brain. I have no sense. I'm crazy. No, you ain't that crazy because you had something behind your back. And a lot of times, my dear friends, we will approach the God of this universe and we will try to hide our sin, conceal it. And they say, Lord, bless me. So what's behind your back? Nothing. Are you sure? Yeah. Won't you please bless me? I need to break out of this prison I'm in. I need to break out of this poverty I'm in. I need to break out of this whatever it might be that's got me bound. I need to break out. So what you're hiding? Remember, it all started in the garden. When God come walking in the garden, he said, Adam! Yo, Adam! Where art thou? Adam was loony. He said, we're hiding. When you're playing hide and go seek, you don't tell nobody where you're at. He said, we're hiding. How are you going to hide from God, man? He was hiding because he had sinned. And he tried to cover his sin, but God saw his sin. And said, where are you? Not that God didn't know. He's like, parents, y'all know how y'all do sometimes. You go up with your child and you say, you know, I know your mama came to you all the time. I just know she did. Steve, do you know who did that?
Nope.
Mama, that, you know how Steve is. Mama, there was a guy that came through the house. I don't know who he was. Maybe he did it. I I mean, that's how we do the Lord's. I have no idea. I have no. Listen, don't y'all remember Cain and Abel? Cain killed Abel. God asked him, "Where your brother at?" I ain't his keeper. He asked me where he ain't his keeper. Well, you might not be his keeper, but you killed him. What are you saying, preacher? You and I can hide all day long, my friends, but like the Bible says, if you and I want to push forward, if you and I want to prosper, then we don't need to be trying to hide or cover up or conceal our sin. Instead, confess your sin. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we confess. We had to confess. Not only that, He says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have what? Mercy. I don't know about y'all, but I need mercy. So I'm going to get that mercy. That means this. I need to confess it. That word confess it, ooh. That word confess it in this verse means to hold out the hand. So instead of me trying to hide it behind my back, just hold it out. I'm holding it out to you, Lord. I confess it. Here it is. And then that word mercy there, or the word forsaketh, means to loose or to leave. So you hold it out. What you do is this, my friends. When you hold whatever it might be, see there's blood all over this thing. All that blood. Whatever it might be, that's bloody, that's bad. You've done something awful, wicked. Hold it out to him and then release it. Let it go. So a lot of times we may confess something to God, but then we keep going. Hang on to it though. The Lord said, you confess it and forsake it. Let it go. Leave it right here. Let loose of it. Let loose of it. And by the way, if you're saved by the grace of God, He gives you the power to be able to let it go, to release it. Now, watch this. Go back with me. Go back with me to Joshua. So we see that a sin has been committed. And then we see the serious command that had been given. The Bible says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in what? The accursed thing. When we talk about that accursed thing, that word accursed here means devoted, it means destruction, or it also means doomed. There were some things that were supposed to be devoted to God, given to God, and some other things that were devoted to God for destruction. And He tells us all these things in the verses before that in chapter number 6. So in other words, my dear friend, He says, leave these things away. Stay away. If not, there's going to be some problems. Look with me to Joshua 6 and verse number 18. The Bible says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves, keep away from that accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. If you don't leave it alone, you're going to not only cause problems for yourself, but also for everybody else. My sin only affects me. You know, my drinking don't affect nobody else but me. You know, my carousing affects nobody else but me. My lying affects nobody else but me. My disobedience affects nobody else but me. No, that's called a lie of the devil. The devil tells you that. But everything that you and I do, good or bad, is going to have some type of influence on somebody's life. Somebody is going to be affected. But oftentimes, we even deceive ourselves thinking that nobody else is going to be affected. And we're going to see, not today, but we're going to see later, my friends, that all of Israel are affected by the sin of Achan. So we see, first of all, the sin has been committed. Then secondly, we see the serious command, leave this stuff alone. But then we see the part we're going to focus on is a self-willed soldier. The Bible says back in verse number 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zeram, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing and angered, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. What happened? What caused this soldier to do something so despicable and something, my friends, that would affect not just himself, but his entire family? Well, let's fast forward to verse number 20. Look at verse number 20. And the Bible tells us what happened with this self-willed soldier. The Bible says in verse number 20, And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When what? I saw. That's how it started. By what he saw. He says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, he says right here, that word look means, the saw means look at. I was looking at something that I should not have been looking at. Remember, my dear friends, in Joshua chapter 6, God says, take all that stuff. Some of these things will be burned. The garment, all this will be burned up. But then the gold and the silver was going to go into the house of the Lord. But everything was given over to God. But he said, I saw it. I looked at it. You know how we do. We say, no, what's wrong with looking? Ask David. David looked at Bathsheba. And it caused him a lot of grief. Well, we asked Sister Eve. She believed the dream. And look what it led to. That's all that in the Old Testament. Look at Matthew chapter number 5. And look at verse number 27. Matthew 5 and look at verse number 27. Straight from the Word of God. Somebody said, well, looks don't hurt. Yes, they do. Looks can tell. Y'all know it too. Because some of us can give some mean looks, man. I mean, they feel scared and nervous. But look what the Bible says here about looking. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 27, the Bible says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, they said this. They said, hey, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, okay, what's good? Yeah. But keep reading. But Jesus says, I say unto you, that whosoever, what? Looketh on a woman to lust after her, have committed adultery with her already where? In his heart. And if I was to ask folks in here today, you ever committed adultery? I ain't never. Are you sure? You sure? Well, no, man, I ain't never. Look what he says right here. Watch it. Whosoever looketh. The word looketh there also means continuously. But that word here, my dear friends, looketh. He says here, whosoever looketh on a woman to what? Lust. That word lust means to desire, to long for, to set your heart on. That's not saying, well, man, you look really nice today. That's not talking about that. That's looking continuously. And she looks good today. Man, she looks good today. And that ain't your wife. The Bible says you've already committed adultery where? In your heart. You've done that. And oftentimes, my dear friends, we say, well, no, I ain't done that. Yes, you have. Do you know, my dear friends, every time a person views pornography, they're committing adultery. They're lusting after the folks that they're looking at. My dear friends, the Bible says that we have committed adultery in our hearts. A look can mess you up. And that's what he says over here, back over here to Joshua. The Bible says that Joshua, Achan first said this, and verse number 20, he says this, verse number 21, when I saw, I was looking at, I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. That word spoils means plunder, treasury, possession. In other words, normally, my dear friends, when you would conquer something, when you would overcome something, my dear friends, a lot of times, those things become your possessions. But we've got a problem here. This was God's stuff. See, after this battle, they're going to have another battle. And all that stuff, they're going to get. But this stuff here, the first fruits, we were talking about all that. This is the first fruits. God said, this belongs to me. So for him to say this, my friends, the spoils, the plunder, he was lying. This was not his take. I saw that plunder. No. But is that not what we do today? Look what the Bible says over here in Isaiah. Isaiah 5. Yeah, Isaiah 5. Look what it says over in Isaiah 5. Yeah, there it is. 5:20. Isaiah 5:20. Look what the Bible says here. Isaiah 5:20. This is what we do today. Watch this. The Bible says, God's word says, verse number 20, Isaiah 5, verse 20. Whoa! Whoa! Anytime you hear the Bible says, whoa, you need to do what? Whoa! Okay? He says, whoa! Unto them that call what? Evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, they turn around. And that's where we're at today in our society. A lot of things, my friends, that at one time we saw as evil is now called good. Things that one time were good, we now call evil. But God says, you know what? It's still good and it's still evil. But we today in our society have turned things around. What's wrong with it? Because after you see it so much, you feel like what's wrong with it. You know? I'm going to go too deep and all that. But nonetheless, the Bible says this. They that say, that call will say evil is good and good is evil. He said, whoa. And that's exactly what Achan's doing. He said, this was spoiled. And I saw it. Now watch what else happened. A self-willed soldier. He saw it. And then he coveted it. The Bible says in verse number 21, the Bible says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, that robe, that cloak, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, of 50 weight, then I what? Coveted them. That word coveted here, my dear friends, means a desire to lust. But that word wedge would caught my attention. I looked up that word wedge, and it means this. It means tongue. I said, say what? I read it again. He says here, that Babylonian garment, the 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, in other words, 50 shekels weight, tongue. My tongue hanging out my mouth. Now, I know y'all know what I'm talking about then. You see something like, can you imagine? Just listen. Okay. Who in here needs some money? Okay, just a few of y'all do. Some of y'all don't need none. Okay. But all of us have got our hands up. If we saw $1 million laying right here on the floor, your tongue would hang, slap out your mouth. And not only would your tongue hang out, some of us would hurt one another. We'll get forgiven later. Cause I mean, get back. I'm sorry. Miss Sue, please, I'm sorry. I need to grab some of this. That's what Steve would do. But nonetheless, folk would be going crazy. And that's what he's saying here, basically, man. He said, when I saw all this, it just blew my mind. I desired it. I lust for it. I had to have it. It started, though, with a look. And then it led, my dear friends, to being coveted after. I desired it. So look what I did. I took it. That word took means to lay hold of. I grabbed a hold of that garment. I grabbed a hold of that silver. I grabbed a hold of that gold. Stuff that did not belong to me. It belongs to God. And God said, leave that stuff alone. It's accursed. It's devoted to me. Some of it for destructions and others for others of it to be used for later. This is my dear friends, but he took it. And then look what he did. And the next verse, part of the verse. I took them, and behold, they are what? Hid in the earth, in the midst of the tent, and the silver under it. I hid it. I tried to conceal it. So it went from a soul or seeing to a coveting to a taking to a hiding. All started with a look. Just a look. If you ever go on a cruise, what they do in a certain part of the ship, they have the gambling section. And a lot of times to get to where you got to get to, you got to go past, not through. Okay. You have to go past that section. But every time you pass that section, that place is lit up. It's got glitter. You're talking about just draws your attention. And you'd be like, man, you know what you want to do? You say, well, I want to just look and check around and see what's happening. And you'll walk up in that place if you ain't careful. And you say, well, Because I'm recorded. I mean, only this fact. I'm just going. If you ain't careful, everything come falling out. Then you be on TV. You're like, oh man, I messed up now. I remember when we was walking by, and I'd be taking them pictures and stuff. And so, remember they took that picture. I've been taking pictures. So I just stood right there and took the picture. They're like, what you doing? I'm like, what? I didn't know. Hold on a minute. Hold on. That must have been a sign, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. All right, amen. Let's all hit the altars now, amen. But nonetheless, they took this picture. And behind me, I think it was like a, it was the it said jackpot and bag. Oh, that's what it was. Oh, that's what it was. They told me to take a picture. I had the bags of money holding my hand. I just had it in my hand. I'm thinking, because everywhere you go, it's snapping pictures and snapping pictures. And then, so I had that picture snapped right there, you know. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm not even thinking about it. I was standing in front of the casino place with two bags of money in my hand, and they just took my picture. Can't you see that on Facebook? They're like, oh, I mean, some will be flocking. I'm going to that church. I don't know what I'm talking about. They got slot machines up in there. But nonetheless, it started, though, with a look. With a look. And we'll think a look ain't nothing. But a look can lead to many, many things that cause you danger. Now, flip over. Go to, let me show you this. Go to Numbers 32 and verse 23. He's trying to hide all this stuff. But look what the Bible says in Numbers 32 and verse number 23. Look at Numbers 32 and verse number 33. The Bible says this about trying to hide stuff. You know, we good at hiding stuff. They don't know. But God see everything, man. Look what the Bible says in Numbers 32 and look at verse number 23. Yeah, there it is. The Bible says this. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Here's that part. And be kind of sure. Mm-mm. And be sure your sin will find you out. Your mom ever tell you, clean your room up? Man, I clean my room for 5 minutes. I'm done. Maybe 3 and a half. Is it clean? Yeah, it's clean. And in our bedroom, the bed was sitting on top of like a, not like a plank or something like that, but the bed was on top, but underneath like what they call like a toy chest light. And then with the length of the bed. You know what I did? Man, I put everything under there. And then what I would do, I put the toys in front. Nice and neat. So you look under there, it looked like the toys nice and neat, so everything's good to go. But all my mama had to do was move that stuff and knock it down. Well, what's all this? Was that your clothes? Why don't you put them in the dirty hamper? Where? What? Say what? No, you know what to say. But you know what? They would always find out. You be trying to hide stuff. Be trying to keep stuff hid. But sooner or later, it's going to happen. For the Bible says, and be sure your sin will find you out. That's why it's a whole lot better to get that thing confessed, get it settled, get it forgiven, and gone for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this and we're done. Flip back over to Joshua. The Bible says this. We see the self-willed soldier. He's doing his own thing. He knows what he's not supposed to do, but he does it anyway. And the latter part of verse number 1 says this. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You know what I titled that? The storm is brewing. The storm is brewing. This man has hid this stuff. He has taken this stuff because of what he saw. He knew he wasn't supposed to touch it. But my friends, he did it anyway. And the Bible says, my friends, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. A storm was brewing. That word anger means nose or nostril. And then that word kindle means to be hot, to burn. God was hot. He was burning up. And y'all know how that is when you're burning up. You're like, you know what? Enough is enough. I have had it. And my paddle's up there. But you'll grab, you have to. You'll grab, here it works. If God got to whip you, it ain't going to be sweet and nice. But always remember, when he whips you, it's always to help you. When God allows things to take place, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 12, since if y'all think I'm just mixed stuff up, in Hebrews chapter number 12, the Bible says that he chases those that are his. That word chasing means to whip. Okay, he whips them. Those who, because they have sinned, they've done something wrong. It's a bad parent that won't chastise their child. That's why, bless some of y'all heart, she stepped out for a second, but Christina, she works in the school, she's a school teacher. Mrs. Wells, she's on the board of the school board and all that. And they'll tell you, them teachers spend more time trying to tell them kids to be quiet and sit down than teach them. And then we blame the teachers and say, well, you know what? Well, they ain't learning nothing. I'm trying to get your kid to be still. And he won't be still. He won't sit there like he's supposed to. And he looks at me and dares me. Don't be yelling at me. I'm going to tell my mama. Y'all know there was a time. Ooh. If you got in trouble in school, your mama found out. She wasn't beating up on the teacher. She was whipping you. But now, today, if our kids do anything, put my kid in detention? Come on out here! You don't put my kid in no detention. Yeah, but he slapped no time. He ain't slapped nobody. Come on out here. My little Johnny wouldn't slap nobody. And little Johnny like, I'm going to slap nobody. I know we all think our kids walk around a little weird. We think our kids walk around like this. You know, they got little halos on their head. Wrong. I know my kid. Yeah, I knew mine too. All mine here right now. They're all old. But I know also that they wouldn't tell the truth all the time. No, they know I tell them. I kill them. They know I'll kill them if they don't tell the truth. Yeah, mine knew that too. Mine knew I'd whip them, I'd tear them up. But you know what? They still lie. You know? That's why, my kid growing up, I wish I had a CSI kid. And they probably say you better use it because you're going to have to get some DNA to prove this. But now, it's totally different. But we have a God that's a perfect father. And if you and I am not doing what we're supposed to do, he is going to whip us. I mean, he ain't going to do like some of my family. They whip everybody. No, he's going to whip the ones that did it. Yeah, I know what you did. And don't be sitting there going, God, I don't know what you're talking about. The first thing, when something goes wrong in my life, the first thing I do is this. I say, okay, Lord, then I do something. If it's something that I did that's caused this to happen, Lord. If I did something, Lord, show me what it is so I can get it right. Lord, I mean, if it's something that I did. And don't think, God, I ain't going to tell him. I'm going to make him sweat it out of me. I'm going to just think about it. No. God will let you know if you did something. Because sometimes it's not because you did anything. It's because you are in a battle. The enemy is attacking. He'll let you know that too. But if you've done something wrong, he will chastise you. And we're going to see later that the children of Israel are going to get spanked. You know why they don't get spanked, my dear friends? Because of several things. First of all, he had taken care of this man's family in the wilderness. When they was in the wilderness on the other side of the Jordan River, God fed them. God took care of them. Not only that, my dear friends, when it came time to cross the Jordan, he helped them to safely cross over the Jordan River. But not only that, my dear friends, when they faced the wall of Jericho, God helped them to have those walls come down and defeat the enemy. And not only that, this man here was a part of the covenant. His family goes all the way back to Judah. He was a part of the covenant. So I think God had every right to be upset, to be angry. You and I have been blood-bought, born again. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And my dear friends, when he says don't do something, don't do it. Yeah, but it looks so good. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Show me what's wrong with it. He ain't got to show you it's wrong. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. Yeah, but I need more. Man, my dad said be quiet. It was time to be quiet. I ain't said, Dad, why? If I said that, I wouldn't be here today. Y'all never heard me. I never heard of Clemens Chappelle. Who's he? Yeah, well, Clement Chappelle Sr. used to have a son named Junior, you know. But he decided, why? He's wide as his way. Why? No! That's hot. I think Christian was the one. That's hot. That's the guy I know. Ah! I told you it was hot. But she got to know. Her mama was at work. And they had this yellow line. And it said, do not cross the yellow line. How old was Christian? I don't know. She was 3 or 4. And she walked behind Jolene, and Jolene looked back. Every time she looked back, she'd see Christian. She wanted to know what's going to happen. She probably like, it didn't happen. But we do the same thing. You know, we go, well, why? Nothing happened. Then before you know it, man, you in some big trouble. Because you know what God is? He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's kind. He's gentle. But what we're going to see, my dear friends, is that this man, who was a self-willed soldier, would soon have to face his sin. And his sin is not only going to affect himself, but his sin is going to affect his whole family. Your sin, my sin, does not just affect us. It affects others as well. So what should I do, preacher? Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. Have you secretly sinned? Have you secretly sinned? Now, if you say no, that's another one. Have you secretly sinned? Secondly, is God's anger beginning to brew because of your unconfessed sin? God got angry, but nothing had happened yet, but God got angry and something's about to happen. Is God's anger brewing? Or something brewing is stirring because of your or my unconfessed sin? If that's to be the case, let's practice 1 John 1 and verse 9. Let's confess our sins to God. Confess. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we confess. Now we're going to find out this man didn't confess. And there's going to be a lot of trouble that's going to take place. The sermon says there's trouble in Canaan. It all started with a self-willed soldier. Let's not be a self-willed soldier this morning. Father, I want to thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And we'll stop it here, Lord, and we'll pick up Tuesday. But Father, I pray that if any of us you've spoken to today about whatever it is, I don't know, maybe it has something to do with this message, maybe it did not have anything to do with this message. But if nothing else, God, help us to come forward and say, Lord, I don't know if I'm a self-willed soldier or not, but I don't want to be. So, Father, help me to not be a self-willed soldier, but help me to be a soldier that follows your will. I pray, God, they come and ask you, Lord, to help them to be a soldier that follows your will. And then, God, if somebody is here today and they say, well, you know what, I have been acting like a self-willed soldier. I've been doing my own thing. But I don't want to continue to do my own thing. I want to do it God's way. God's way is the right way. God's way is the way to, it'll bring victory. It'll help me to push forward. It'll help me to break out. I pray, God, they come and talk to you about those matters. God, there's somebody here this morning and say, you know what, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. I pray, God, they come this morning and we'll show them from the Word of God. We got folks here that will take the Bible and show them. We'll pray with them and we'll show them, Lord, the Word of God says about how to trust Christ as their Savior. I pray they come. Father, whatever needs are this morning, maybe there's somebody who will come and say, ooh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for helping to break my self-will and helping me to die to self and follow you. I pray, God, they come and give you praise, honor, and glory. But God, whatever the needs are this morning, help us to respond as you've tapped, tugged, nudged our hearts. That's it. In your Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.